Grace be unto you and peace from the one who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, the one who now gives you the gift of eternal life as a free gift from your Savior God. Amen. Dear fellow baptized children of God, do you like change? No, I'm not talking about the kind of change that you keep in your pants pocket or the kind of change that you find at the bottom of your purse. Nor am I talking about the kind of change that you discover when you clean out your couch or when you clean out your car. I'm talking about the changes that you experience in your life. Do you like change? Now, that's one of those questions that can be answered any number of different ways. Well, we usually don't mind changing our clothes. We probably would not appreciate it if we had to change the style of clothing that we wear. And while we don't usually mind changing our car, especially if we can upgrade to a new car or a newer car, we probably would not appreciate having to change the kind of car that we drive, whether we go from a nice big SUV down to a little compact, or maybe even a Buick, change from a Buick to a Honda. Where we most often resist change, however, is when we personally don't feel that that change is necessary, where we personally don't feel that that change is for the better. Our sermon text for today places before us a huge, monumental change. Today, then, as we study these words from Matthew chapter 3, let's see how the baptism of our dear Lord and Savior signals a change, a transition in his life and in his ministry here on this earth. With that in mind, let's study our text for today under the theme, A Time for Transition. Approximately 30 years before the event that is recorded here in our text took place, the Lord Jesus Christ made a similar journey from Galilee in the north to the Jordan in the south. Still in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the soon-to-be-born Christ child was taken from Galilee to Judea so that God's plan of salvation for this world could unfold precisely as it was designed to unfold. So also now, Matthew tells us in our text, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus did not just happen to make this journey from Galilee to the Jordan at this particular time. Jesus made this journey deliberately, my friends. Why? Because now was the time for change. Now was the time for transition. Now was the time for Jesus to be baptized in the muddy waters of the Jordan. Now, if any of you are wondering why Jesus wanted to be baptized in the Jordan River, you're in very good company. John the Baptist himself was the very first one to protest that such an action should take place. Matthew says, but John tried to deter him. And the Greek here could be translated, but John continually tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? There is a very good reason as to why John did not want to grant Jesus' request to be baptized. Not long before this event took place, John had said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that the one who was coming after him would be far more powerful than John. He is the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is the one who is so much greater than John that John did not feel worthy to even carry this person's sandals. And now the one whom John had been talking about was requesting to be baptized. I don't think so, said John, instead of Jesus being baptized by John. John felt the only proper thing was for him to be baptized by Jesus. But no matter how much or how long John protested, Jesus was not about to be deterred. Ultimately, Jesus put an end to the entire conversation by very authoritatively saying to John, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this. to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. While reassuring John the Baptist that his testimony concerning him was certainly not exaggerated, at the very same time, Jesus reveals to John, and Jesus reveals to us, that his baptism in the Jordan River was necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness. Here is where we see that the baptism of Jesus marks a time of tremendous transition in the Lord's ministry here on this earth. For 30 years, Jesus' ministry had quietly focused on what we now call his active righteousness. Very simply, this means that for 30 years, Jesus had always kept all of God's commandments. For 30 years, Jesus had always fulfilled all the rules and all the regulations contained in the law of Moses. For 30 years, Jesus always did everything that God requires of you and me, but he did it perfectly. Now think about what that means, my friends. As a little child, Jesus never once disrespected or disobeyed his parents or anyone in authority over him. Can we make that very same claim? As a teenager, Jesus never once allowed an impure thought to come into his mind or nestle in his heart. He never once allowed an improper word to come out of his mouth. Can we make that very same claim? As an adult, Jesus' heart and his mind and his life was always filled with a perfect love for God as well as a perfect love for his neighbors. Can we make that very same claim? This is why the active righteousness of Jesus Christ is so very important for us to remember. As our substitute in our place, Jesus actively lived that perfect, righteous life that God requires of you and me, the life that we are simply not able to live. But now was a time for change. Now was a time for transition. Now was a time for Jesus to be baptized. While continuing to live that absolutely perfect and righteous life, Jesus knew the time had now come for his ministry to focus on what is called his passive righteousness. Very simply put, Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of a 3-year public walk. A walk that would take him directly to the cross on Calvary's Hill. For the next 3 years, Jesus would be tempted by Satan over and over and over again. For the next 3 years, Jesus would endure the ridicule and the rejection of the unbelievers. And finally, at the end of those 3 years, Jesus would endure the very public humiliation and the hellish agony of being nailed to a cross on a hill called Calvary. And the glory of it all, my friends, the glory of it all is that Jesus was willing to do this. Jesus was willing to endure everything that you and I deserve to receive for our sins, all so that we might receive eternal life as a free gift from our Heavenly Father. That's the glorious truth that Jesus' baptism proclaims right down to this very day. But there is more, isn't there? Here on the bank of the Jordan River, Jesus is unmistakably identified as the true, eternal Son of the one and only living God. Matthew tells us that after Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted on Jesus. And then there was that voice. There was that voice that said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Besides being a proof passage for the teaching of the Holy Trinity, this passage assures us that the Heavenly Father approved the path that Jesus was taking to secure our eternal salvation. Jesus was doing exactly what needed to be done. He was fulfilling his Father's plan of salvation for this world precisely as it was designed. The change that Jesus was in the process of making for you and for me, the change that Jesus was in the process of making for the entire human race, was and is the most glorious and the greatest change that we will ever experience here on this earth. Through his perfect life and through his innocent suffering and death, Jesus changed our status in the eyes of the living God. Instead of being the enemies of God, enemies who deserve nothing but eternal punishment in hell, Jesus' work of atonement has now made us at one with God. Through faith in what Jesus has done for us, we are now the dearly beloved adopted children of the Heavenly Father. Right there, my friends, right there at the baptismal font is where both the act of righteousness and the passive righteousness of Jesus Christ touched our hearts in a truly miraculous, life-changing way. We all know, of course, that there are any number of ways in which people today seek to find their own identity. Sometimes people seek to find their identity in their job. What I do is what makes me, me. But if they lose that job, or after they retire from that job, they can easily suffer an identity crisis. Sometimes people strive to find their identity in their accomplishments. What I achieve over the course of my life, that is what makes me, me. But as those achievements fade into the distant past, and when people are no longer impressed by what they have achieved, that person too can suffer an identity crisis. Economic status, material wealth, family name, outward looks. These are all things that people vainly try to use to establish their own identity. But our true identity, the identity that will last into all of eternity, was given to us when we were baptized with water in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There at the baptismal font, through the power of the Holy Spirit himself, we have experienced a change that will only be surpassed when the good Lord decides that it's time for us to make that final transition from his church here on this earth to his church in heaven above. There at the baptismal font, the God of heaven and earth smiled down upon us and said, "This is now my son. This is now my daughter. With her, with him, I am well pleased." To reinforce how important it is for us to remember our baptism in our daily lives, God led Martin Luther to include the meaning of baptism in his catechism. You all remember this? Hopefully you all have one and look at it, read it every now and then. In the catechism, Martin Luther asks, "What does such baptizing with water mean?" And then he answers the question by writing, "Such baptizing with water means that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and that a new man should daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever." There is no doubt that Jesus' baptism did indeed mark a change, a transition in his life and in his ministry here on this earth. In a similar way, there is no doubt that our baptism did indeed mark a change, a transition in our life here on this earth. Our Christian baptism has indeed changed us, my friends. It changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we speak. It changes the way that we act. Our Christian baptism changes the way that we look at the people around us. It even changes the way that we look at ourselves. Our Christian baptism changes our goals and the priorities that we set in our life. Our Christian baptism changes us from the inside out. We are different from the unbelieving world around us. That is why it is so important for us to daily strive to remember what our baptism means for us. That is why we need to daily strive, with God's help, to live up to the new identity that we were given when we were baptized in His holy name. So, my friends, how do you like change? When it comes to the little things in our lives, such as the clothes that we wear or the car that we drive, change is relatively easy to make. But when it comes to the bigger things in life, such as what we do for a living or where we are living, now that change might take a little longer for us to get used to. My prayer this morning is twofold. First of all, I pray that each and every single day you will get on your knees and praise the God of heaven. Praise the God of heaven for that glorious, miraculous change that Jesus effected for this world through His perfect life and through His innocent suffering and death. And then, I pray that each and every single day you will get on your knees and thank the God of heaven. Thank Him for that glorious, miraculous change that was bestowed upon you when you were baptized in His name. To God be the glory. Amen.